Isn't that so often how it works? We watch people and we see great-grandma or grandpa or parents being faithful in some aspect of their life, and we say, hey, maybe that's the way I should live my life. And so never underestimate the importance of living out faithfulness to God, faithfulness to Jesus and his church, faithfulness to the ministry of the Spirit. Because sometimes the most powerful evangelistic message is your life faithfully lived. You are so often God's message. And it happens in the everyday experiences of your life. It happens in the places you don't even know people are watching you. And that's why this message today is so important. Because last week we talked about the peace of God that only comes through Jesus. Jesus, if you didn't hear last week's message, please listen to it online. This week is how that peace that is only given by grace through Jesus Christ, the peace we have with God through Jesus Christ, by faith through grace alone, how that now needs, that holiness that we receive from Christ being in us now must move into a place of wholeness so that others can experience his holiness. Because often, here's the deal. Think of this like a hose. And many of you are saying, thank goodness he's not walking backstage right now and getting a hose, because I've done this in the past. There is no hose hooked up to the water, and I'm not going to spray anyone today. I've learned my lesson. I think I got that speaker wet, or maybe that speaker's not here anymore. Anyways, think of this. Think of the peace you have with God is like hooking up to a source of pure water. You are the hose through which that pure water must go through to spray down everyone else. Okay? So if I want to hit the back row, you know, in the back sections to spray back there with the peace of God that transcends all human understanding, man, my hose cannot get kinked and my hose cannot be filled with crud and calcium deposits. I've got to keep that hose whole and clean and unkinked so that water can spray to the ends of the earth, or in this case, the ends of the worship center, out everywhere. And today we're talking about you as that conduit. We're talking about how do you keep the hose, you, the conduit of God's perfect peace. How do we keep you from corrupting and contaminating and preventing the flow of that peace so that others may experience the peace? Next week, we're going to talk about passing the peace to others. Today, our focus is on you as the vessel of that peace, so that as God has given you his holiness through the baptism of the Spirit, through Jesus Christ's salvation, through the indwelling of the Spirit, as you have received the holiness of God, Christ in you, how now do you become whole so that others may see and know him as the author and perfecter of your faith, the Prince of Peace. So Lord Jesus, as we go into this message now, Lord, I pray that I will be sanctified more and more, consecrated more and more through your word and your Spirit, so that there will be nothing of me and it will be all of you. Lord, this is my prayer for every communication. This is my prayer, Lord, for every relationship, that we would be used by you to declare your goodness and your grace, your compassion, your mercy, your justice and holiness to all who would see and hear. Come, Holy Spirit, now and be our teacher. I am but a vessel. Come, shine your glory through my cracks. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, there are three aspects of that peace: the vertical, the internal, and the external. Last week, Jesus taught us, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world do I give to you. Thank you, Kevin, for illustrating this. Do not let your heart be troubled. Do not be afraid. That's your memory verse from last week. I hope some of you are continuing to do your memory verses. So John 14:27. Today's scripture and today's memory verse is from Philippians chapter 4, verses 6-7. So I'm going to read this to you, We're actually going to cover all the way to verses 9 today, but I am just going to emphasize to you right now the memory verse, Philippians 4, 6 to 7. You have it on a little card, so pull out your card. Let's look at this together. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Oh Lord, let it be true. Lord, we know that this word is eternal and everlasting, and that it will not return void. So may we experience it. May our spiritual vitality, which is our experience of our living faith, may that strengthen and grow as your Holy Spirit activates the Word of God in our minds and hearts in such a way that we think and act, relate to others, and behave according to the Word of God. So we submit ourselves now, and we ask that you teach us how to do that. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, that's our scripture for today. Next week, how we pass the peace comes from Ephesians 2:14, and this is just a heads up of where we're going. Ephesians 2:14 says, "For he himself is our peace, who made both groups into one and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall." And there it's talking about the Jews and non-Jews, and we're going to see how God's word and that principle of tearing down the dividing wall applies now to every dividing wall there is between people. And that Jesus's peace is to be passed through us to tear down those barriers that are destroying our ability to be human at home, in our community, and our culture. Now, when you look at these three aspects of peace, I want to make a connection for you. The reason why there's these three aspects of peace, the peace of God that comes from God, that brings wholeness to us, and then goes out to others. The reason there's three is because we need the peace of God to fulfill the greatest commandment. There's always a reason God does things, and that reason is to fulfill his purpose in the world, which is his glory through his people. So the greatest commandment given by Jesus is in Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 to 39, and I know that some of you have memorized this already. And what is that greatest commandment? This is an important scripture to know. If you want to follow Jesus, we need to know what Jesus said. This is the most important. This is the greatest commandment. And Jesus said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind." There's three things there, right? With all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind. This is the greatest, and this is the great and foremost commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Interesting. There's three aspects to this. It's the love you have with all of your being with God, and then how that love then comes into us so that we can love ourselves according to the way God loves us, by grace and not by works. I'm not talking about a worldly self-love. I'm talking about a God-centered love, that I am loved by God's grace, which means I can't earn it. It's just real. And then we're to love our neighbor in the same way that we love ourselves, which is because he first loved us. We can love ourselves and love others. And so often we just talk about the vertical and the mission, but we forget that we're the conduit. We're the hose. I think we're scared to talk about the reality that holiness should lead to wholeness. And then you have people who are spiritually mature in that they know lots of things about the Bible, but they're emotionally immature. They're relationally broken. And we see that in church splits, and we see that in just a lot of brokenness. It's not because people don't love Jesus, it's because we haven't allowed Jesus to actually bring wholeness to every part of our life, because we've kept him in our head, above our shoulders, and we haven't loved him with all of our heart and all of our soul and all of our mind. We loved him with our mind, and so we declare all these things we know, but Jesus says, "I don't want you to know about me, I want you to know me. I want you to tell the world about me," which means you need to show me. And this is why we're talking about peace over 3 weeks. Because I want you to know the great doctrines of salvation that give you peace, but I also want you to know the wholeness, the shalom. Because shalom is about wholeness. Shalom is about God's presence that doesn't bring ceasefire. It brings wholeness in the midst of the tribulation. So good what God has done for us. God has given, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, God has given us everything we need. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness. That is what his great and magnificent promises are about. Everything we need. We become partakers of God, which means we are participants in his purposes. We're sharing in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit's community eternally so that we can bring about his purposes here and for all time. And one more thing I want to point out, that it's for all of us. Romans 5:8 says, but God demonstrates his own love toward us. It doesn't say me. We're the me culture. We're a me-centered people. But God demonstrates his own love toward us. That's a big us. In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So often we focus upon me. And that's great. I want you to personally experience God's salvation. But as we're going to learn next week, the problem with the privatization of your religion is that it can become me-centered. And you can exclude instead of embrace that God demonstrated his love for us. That yet while we were sinners, Christ died for us. And that's part of your wholeness. Part of your wholeness is realizing that God's plan is bigger than you and me alone. It's for all of us. So now we're going to look at some practical teaching, because Paul practically teaches us how we're to walk in this peace. Paul teaches us how we are to experience our salvation in a way that it's like God standing at the doorpost of our hearts and minds, like a military guard, and guarding our hearts and minds. And it's like a scene where God is standing at your heart and mind, and when the world wants to bring something nasty into it, or you are starting to cycle in some doomsday rhythm, God says, thou shalt not pass. He stands there and like a military guard and says, that evil shall not be there in your thought corrupting you. Now we're going to see how this passage, Philippians 4, 6 through 9, helps us to walk in wholeness, to apply what God has given us, so that the vertical gift of grace that brings us peace with God, the enmity is gone, the strife is gone, the division between us and God is gone, because Jesus has forever, once for all, taken our sin upon himself on the cross, and in place of our sin, which he's taken on himself, he's given us the Holy Spirit, that is God's righteousness, or right standing with God. That's 2 Corinthians 5:21. Thank you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, for your plan of salvation so that we can have eternal life and experience eternal life abundantly and give that abundance to others. Okay, so here we go. Romans 4, 6 through 9. We're going to learn some practical ways that we can walk in this scripture. Let me read it again. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. So personal prayers for yourself as well as prayers for others. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, which transcends all human understanding. It's bigger than us. It's not of this world. Will guard, that military guard image, your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, verse 8, brethren, that's brothers and sisters, that's church, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there's any excellence, if anything is worthy of praise, what do? We dwell on these things. Talk about mental health. We're gonna talk about that. The things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things. Any athletes in the room, any soldiers in the room, any farmers in the room, anybody who needs to, you know, do some discipline in their life to get the job done, teachers, You got to show up. You got to do your lesson plans. Practice these things. Keep doing these things that you have heard and seen in me, and what? The God of peace will be with you. That's the first lesson we learn in Matthew 1, that God is with us. Emmanuel, God is with us. It's the simple truths. He knows my name. He's with me. And that gives me peace. So let's look at these. Did you know that your spiritual practices are a lot like dental hygiene habits? So last week, a group of us at different nights went out and spoke to, was it 15 different middle school students, Kevin? 12. 12 middle school students. And praise God that we got to speak to them about how to live and walk with Jesus, about faith and life, and it was a powerful time. And I told those middle schoolers that when we think about our lives with Jesus, I was trying to bring it down to the middle school level, it's a lot like our dental hygiene habits. How often do you brush your teeth? I'd like to think you brush your teeth probably twice a day. You probably floss, because you know what the dentist says. My dentist tells me that you floss the teeth you want to keep, right? And then you gurgle probably, you know, to get in your gums and work out those areas. So there's these dental hygiene habits that we do. Do you think about it? I don't think about it. I just do it because it's a habit. What are habits? Habits are things we don't think about. Habits are things we do because we don't want stinky breath and because we don't want our teeth to rot out. And we also don't want higher bills to have to pay because we didn't take care of our teeth on a daily basis. There's practical reasons why we take care of our teeth. So in the same way that you brush your teeth day and night, and you bookend your day with it, I encourage you to practice this scripture that you just heard. I encourage you to practice 1 Peter 5:7. In 1 Peter 5:7, Peter says, cast all your anxiety on him. Why? Because he cares about you. It's not some command from some distant God. God is like a father who cares about you. And because he cares about you, because he loves you, he wants you to trust him and go to him and cast your cares upon him. Cast your anxieties upon him. So when you're experiencing anxiety, both Philippians 4 and 1 Peter 5 are telling us to cast those things onto God. What's your worries? What's bothering you when you wake up first thing in the morning? What's driving you? What's bothering you? And when you're going to bed at night, what's keeping you up at night? What's causing insomnia? What's causing you to be restless and not be able to fall asleep? Well, the answer is to cast all that stuff onto God morning and night. And when you do it morning and night, then you can learn to do it throughout the day. 1 Peter 5:7, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares about you. He cares for you. He's saying, I love you. Come to me. Trust me, and I will give you rest. That's always the message of this loving God. And Jesus practiced this. Okay, look at Jesus. Jesus' life. Mark 1:35. In the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, verse 35, we see this. In the early morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went away to a secluded place and was praying there. And we learn through the Gospels that Jesus had these rhythms where he would go off to a secluded place and he would pray. They knew where to find Jesus because he would do it as a regular routine. He would pray. For us, that's Bible intake. However, whether you read the Bible or listen to the Bible, it's getting God's word in you. It's praying. It's having times of silence to be still and know that he is God. And it's also times of worship where you have worship music on. And you are listening and praising God. Whether you're driving, and you can drive in silence, or you can drive in with worship music on. But it's soaking yourself in God's word. It's these times of brushing our teeth, of flossing our teeth, and gurgling that should be so ingrained into our morning and evening routines, not because it's another burdensome thing to do, but because it's like brushing your teeth. It's good dental hygiene habits. It's good mental health practice. These are the spiritual disciplines that God has ordained for you to walk in the same way that you don't have stinky breath, you won't have a stinky attitude. And you might find a little bit more self-control throughout the day because you're bookending your day with the same practices that Jesus modeled for us. Going off and being with the Father and letting the Father cleanse his soul. And obviously we know Jesus was without sin. And so if Jesus did this, how much more do I need to do it? Because I am with sin, even though I am forgiven. I need daily mental health rhythms that come from good spiritual practices to keep my mind focused on that which is, according to Philippians 4, verse 8, honorable, true, right, pure, lovely, good repute, excellent, anything worthy of praise. Dwell, live in, meditate upon, focus your mind on these things. Brothers and sisters, this is mental health practice. And I know there's real struggles with mental illness. And I'm going to address that. But for so many of us, if we could just morning and night focus our minds on the truths of God and sit in his presence and worship him, we would find so much of our anxiety and so much of our fear and so much of our insecurity being washed over by the security of God's love. So let me straight talk about mental illness for a minute. For some, their fight with mental illness is like that with cancer. Borderline personality disorders, things like that. Clinical depression. That's like a fight with cancer. It's real. It's hard. And it's life-altering. For others, struggle with mental illness is like seasonal allergies. Because there is such a thing as seasonal depression. It's real. And during certain seasons of the year, it affects and it needs to be addressed. For others, mental illness is like an acute trauma that requires immediate care and follow-up therapy. Mental health comes with real illnesses and life issues that should not be minimized, cannot be minimized by the church. Please talk to me. Please go see your primary care physician if you think that you need assistance of medical science and of a team of people that can help you in this conversation. Don't try to do it on your own. We need people in our lives because this is a real issue. So I am advocating for you to remain faithful in the habits of God's grace that will wash over your heart and mind so that you're not taken hostage by your medical situation. In many ways, what I'm teaching you today are the same exact principles that I tell people going through any medical crisis, including cancer, including seasonal or acute issues. Every crisis comes with its challenges, and that's real. It's real, and we need to treat it as real. Someone breaks their arm, you put it in a splint, and you don't point fingers at them and tell them a bad person for getting medical care. So, church, we cannot stigmatize. We must be a place where people can get the help they need for real issues. Every crisis comes with its own challenges. But every crisis is an opportunity for you to grow in God's grace, in God's mercy, and to understand what he has done for you and what he is doing for you, to grow closer to him, to experience rest for your soul in the easy yoke of Jesus, to experience the peace of God that is not of this world, but it transcends human understanding that will guard your heart and mind. Even when these temporary dwelling places, these bodies, these tents are dying, we need to help and encourage and strengthen one another, even when we're experiencing the brokenness of the fall, because the fall is real, and the effects of sin touches everybody. It's just a universal human reality that Jesus came to deal with. So what I want to do is I want to encourage you and strengthen you of how we walk with God through that and with one another. And here's one of the big principles from our scripture that I'm going to use Paul's words from 2 Corinthians 10:5. 2 Corinthians 10:5, the second half of it, you'll see a B. It should be a lowercase b, but that's okay. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5, B, second half. What that tells us, that second half of that verse says this: take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Okay, why am I connecting that to this Philippians 4:8? Because Philippians 4:8 says, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there's any excellence, if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. But what's the reality of our situation? Talk shows, TV shows, people, social media, yourself. You have things that don't fit this list that come to your mind, right? True? Am I the only person that have things that don't touch this list that come to my mind? And sometimes I think about them too much. So what's the answer? Here's the answer. You go to God and you ask the Holy Spirit to help you to do what? To take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. We must remain faithful and positive and hopeful in our treatment plans for our own medical issues as well as the issues of others. And here's the deal. Do not surrender yourself to the anchor of anxiety. Yes, anxiety is real, but don't surrender yourself to the anchor of anxiety. Fear is real, but do not give yourself over to the grip of fear. Paranoia is a real issue for a lot of people, but don't give yourself to the paralysis of paranoia. We are invited to be vigilant, to capture our thoughts constantly when we're experiencing these insecurities, these fears, these newscast reports, these old tapes. We're invited to be vigilant, to capture our thoughts and shatter. We must shatter those old broken tapes because they're lies. Those things that someone told you that you'll never amount to anything, that you're not good for anything, that you're not beautiful, that you're not, that God can't use you. These lies that have been spoken of you, we must shatter those old tapes. We must stop stinking thinking. We must cease the catastrophic thinking that casts into tomorrow all these worries and catastrophic situations that are going to happen in our own lives, in the lives of our relationships, in the lives of our nation, in the lives of the world. Stop it. Stop creating problems by forecasting them and live in the grace of God that is today. And the opportunity that I say, you cannot seize the moment and strengthen your spiritual vitality and be on mission today if you're living in catastrophic thinking about tomorrow or you're listening to the broken tapes of yesterday. They rob you of your joy and prevent you from hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit telling you what to do today. And what helps you stay in step with the Holy Spirit and the Word of God is being in the grace of God today, which means we must be vigilant to capture our thoughts. Because not every thought that comes to your mind is of God. And not every good idea you have is of God. And you need to take that to the Lord before you act upon it. So what I'm asking you to do is I'm inviting you to walk in the ancient path of Joshua 1, 8 to 9. That's what Paul's doing. This is what Paul's doing in this verse in Philippians. This is what Peter's doing. And I'm going to show you Joshua. This is so important. And this has been so misrepresented by New Age, by the world. And I want you to say, friends, that we need to reclaim the ancient paths of God from his word. Listen to this. Joshua chapter 1, verses 8 to 9. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it. That's dwell on it, focus on it, day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you'll have success. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Do you hear the connections? Do you hear that Jesus is inviting us to get into his easy yoke? He's inviting us to enter into the ancient pathways of God by having time, morning and night, bookending our day, where we can be in his word, dwell upon his word, meditate, focus on his word, so that all of our ways will prosper in him, because he is with us. We need reminders. Who needs to be reminded that God loves you, that God is with you, and that he's given you the Spirit so that you're more than a conqueror going through this situation? We need to be reminded of those things So often good mental health practices are about reminding ourselves about the promise of wholeness, that through his word and through prayer and through time with God and through worshiping him as the one and true God, he will bring peace to our heart and mind. He will bring wholeness to our holiness. That's how you are a conduit of blessing. We must prioritize our relationship with Jesus with time, morning and night, bookending our days to be with him. Psalm 119, the longest chapter in the Bible. I'm going to give you three verses from Psalm 119. Listen to this. How can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to your word. How can a young man keep his way pure? How can a young woman keep their way pure? Keep her way pure? By keeping it according to your word. Verse 11, your word I have treasured in my heart that I may not sin against you. You've heard it this way. We hide God's word in our heart so that we will not sin against him. Do you hear it? This is Joshua 1:8 being put into practical teaching. If you want to be pure, then live according to the word. How do you want to live your life so you don't sin against him? By memorizing, internalizing, and meditating upon, dwelling on his word. And then finally, verse 105, you want to know God's will for your life? Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. So when you're discerning big steps in your life, you go to the word, you spend time with God, you be silent before him, you listen to him, because prayer is as much about listening as it's talking. Baptist, whatever you classify yourself as, followers of Jesus in a loud world, means you need to shut up and listen. Now, I'm not telling anyone to shut up personally. Don't be offended. Maybe that wasn't the best choice of words. I apologize. But I think it got your attention that we talk a lot in prayer when we need to be listening and be silent before him. Just read Psalm 62. That's what my Sunday school class looked at this morning. And there's a whole lot of being silent before the Lord there, especially when there's enemies and accusers coming your way. When you're feeling bullied by the world, don't get louder than the bully, because the bully's just going to get louder, because that's what bullies do. As someone who's been bullied, trust me, the best way to deal with it is to be silent before the Lord and trust and just be a loving, non-anxious presence, because the peace of God is with you. And God's going to work it all out. You don't need to defend yourself. God's already got it. It's peace. It's also biblical maturity. This is mental peace. This is how we're going to talk about getting healthy in our relationships. It's the good discipline of mental hygiene. You want a clear mind, then stop putting pollution in it. I don't know what to tell you. If your heart doctor would probably tell you, yes, I can do that procedure, but you need to change your lifestyle. And so you go to a different heart doctor. There is no magic in Christianity. It is you walking in the easy yoke with Jesus, because he's invited you into that relationship with the Father through his death on the cross. And through faith, the Holy Spirit dwells in you and gives you everything you need for life and godliness, to walk with him and to be on mission for him until the day he brings all things to completion. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. So in the same way that you brush your teeth and you floss and you gurgle because you don't want stinky breath, you don't want tooth rot or gum infection, well, guess what? I'm inviting you to spend time with Jesus morning and night so that you don't have stinky attitude and soul decay even while you're prospering in the world. Because sometimes the more we're prospering in the world, the more we have to slap on all the coverings, because we know something is diminishing within us. And that's our soul. And I don't want you to have soul sickness. You know, sometimes people say, what kind of doctor are you? I say, I'm a soul doctor. I'm not a medical doctor. My doctorate is in pastoral studies, because that's what I'm a professional at. I get a professional degree, just like Jeff has a Juris Doctorate, you know, because he's a lawyer. That's what a lawyer gets, you know. That's what Nate has. He's a medical doctor, because that, you know, the superintendent has a Doctor of Education. I want to be the very best I can be in the eyes of God, for his applause, and I want to help you have a healthy soul. And that can only come through a relationship with Jesus. But from there, it's you getting in that yoke with Jesus, finding rest for your soul in these rhythms of grace so that your attitude and your life reflect him. And we got to stop accommodating the world, because that's really what's happening a lot in the church right now. There's a whole lot of accommodation happening. We just need to shine with the love and grace of God and stay focused on our purpose. So please, set apart times with God and learn to become gentle and humble in heart like him. Because it's in the easy yoke of Jesus that we do the final thing. And this is where I'm going to move to conclusion. Everyone says hallelujah. Philippians chapter 4, verse 9 says this. Because you can't skip this. Because otherwise it's just a mind game. If everything's just about the mind and about thinking the right things, then what about the actual manifestation of our faith in everyday life? Listen to verse 9. The things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me. So this is Philippians 4, 9, the last verse of our lesson. The things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me. What are you supposed to do? What's the word there? Practice. Practice these things. And what happens when you practice the things you've seen, the Bible teaches us to do? The God of peace will be with you. Isn't that the promise of Emmanuel? That God is with us? Isn't that the promise of the Holy Spirit that he'll never leave us nor forsake us? He won't leave us as an orphan? And so, brothers and sisters, that's the invitation to the easy yoke. Jesus says, get into my yoke and walk with me and learn to become gentle and humble in heart like me, and then you will experience rest for your souls. You'll experience an increase in spiritual vitality. In other words, you'll experience an increase in your living faith, your persevering faith, not just a sufficient faith of your salvation, but an abundant faith, a living faith, a persevering faith. When we hear the invitation of Jesus, because he cares for us, to cast off all the burdens of the world, all the anxiety of the world, get out of the yoke of the world, and get in the yoke of Jesus, and we'll experience rest for our soul, we'll experience the peace of God that transcends all understanding, and then we will walk step by step with gentleness and humility through the circumstances of our lives. It's true. You can do this. But you can only do it with him. And so today, I invite you to come into a personal relationship with God by accepting the free gift of salvation that only Jesus Christ can give you. If you have not asked Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sin, today is the day to do that. Because the first step for you experiencing the peace of God is surrendering to him. And the second step, after you've accepted Jesus, is to now learn to walk side by side in a personal relationship with Jesus. Learning to practice the things, learning to capture your thoughts so that your mental health, so that your emotional well-being, so that your relationships reflect the peace you've been given by God. And wouldn't we all love that? I know that our church tradition focuses on saving souls. And I'm all about saving souls. But I believe that when you save a soul, there should be something called life transformation. And that transformation happens, according to Romans 12, 2, through the renewal of our minds. So my prayer for you is, if you're not experiencing peace with God, then today is the day to bow the knee and say, Jesus, please forgive me of my sins. I put my faith and belief in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who died on the cross to take my sins for me and then defeated death, rose 3 days later, and has ascended to the right hand of the Father, praying for me now to say, yes, I want to come into that relationship with you. And I know my sin is in the way, so please take my sin from me, and please fill me with your Holy Spirit so that I may have eternal, forever relationship with you. Please do that, Lord. Please do that. And if you've done that, then I believe you are saved. I believe that you have been born again through the presence of God. And now, if you've already done that or you just did that, I want you to experience the wholeness of that holiness. So, Lord God, I pray that you would make it the activity of every person's life to dwell in the goodness, in the glory, in the grace of God our Savior. I pray that we'll fix our minds, according to Philippians 4, that we'll fix our minds on whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is good repute, what is excellent, what is worthy of praise. I pray that we'll fix our mind on you and these truths that come through the washing of your word that sanctifies us, that makes us whole. That's what that means. That is in this journey of making us whole so that people see your holiness through our wholeness. Lord, heal our relationships in this congregation as well as in our families and in our community. Heal the relationships in our culture across the aisle, across every dividing barrier that we have erected as human beings because of our own brokenness and fear and insecurity of the other. Forgive us. Forgive us, Lord, of our racism. Forgive us, Lord, of our bigotry. Forgive us, Lord, of our xenophobia. Forgive us, Lord, of our elitism. Lord, we are such a broken, insecure people that we will tear others down to make ourselves feel good. Forgive us, Lord, for being bullies on social media or in the public market square. Sometimes, Lord, we need to say, forgive me, for I know not what I do, because we do not know how so often our everyday practices oppress others. Lord, I pray, God, that through the victory of Jesus Christ, we would be set free from sin. Set free from sin so that we may love you with all of our heart, with all of our soul, and with all of our mind, so that we may love our neighbor as you have taught us to love ourselves, with this wholeness and with this purity and with this hope. Lord Jesus, I pray that your Holy Spirit would move upon your people today, both present and online. If there's any area of repentance, any area of confession of sin, any area of sickness that they want to bring, that, Lord, you right now are ready to hear that prayer and to bring wholeness and healing to that person's life. Oh, Lord, please rescue us. In your great name and with your great love, bring wholeness to your church. In Jesus' name, amen.